our prayers. We pray with gratitude for Tom, recovering well from surgery, finding relief after months of pain, back with us this morning. Bless him as he heals. We pray for Mary, whose ankle is healing well now, but is having significant pain in her knee. Bless Donna, who has a road of rehab and PT ahead as her knee heals as well. Comfort those who mourn, O Lord. We lift up Cheryl and her family as they said goodbye to Bob this week. We pray for the family of Ken Kuiper, whose memorial service was yesterday. Hold tenderly his family and others like Jeff and Marty, whose life he touched. Watch over those living with cancer and in the midst of cancer treatments. We pray especially this morning for Val and Samantha, for Calvin, Lori, for Chris and Steve, and Patty's mother, Lucy. Lord, have mercy. Hear our prayers. We pray too for Henrik's mom, who broke her leg, for Rosina's friend's husband, Mike, who just went to the ER. We pray for Anthony, just 35 years old, who had a stroke yesterday. He is extended family of Dick and Myrna in California. We pray for Leo, who's scheduled to have a kidney removed tomorrow. May it go well, and may he recover soon. God, we celebrate with Andy Thanksgiving for 81 years of life and 60 years of marriage this week. Bless he and Terry each new day. God, we come to you with our hearts full, with worries, but also in celebration, celebrating new life with the birth of Eli Aaron. Bless his family, Aaron and Kim and Lyndon, Lauren and Donna, as they all soak in these precious moments together. We celebrate new life together as Abby and Jeff were married yesterday. God bless their marriage. And may their life together be a blessing to all they meet. Lord God, as we discern and envision how we continue forward as a church family, how best to adapt to this changing world, help us remember that it is neither the one who plants nor the one who waters, but you, O God, who give the growth. Help us remember it is not our doing, but your gift, O God. Not the result of works, so that we may not boast. Keep us from foolishly thinking that what has started with the Spirit needs to end with the flesh. May we rejoice that it is you who are at work, and you are enabling us both to will and to work for your good pleasure. O Lord, hear our prayers. Prayers for our world full of wars and rumors of wars. Bring peace to Sudan, to Ukraine and Russia. Bring an end to the violence in Nigeria and elsewhere. Lord, we pray for those who are emigrating, seeking better lives for their families over land and over sea. Lord, have mercy. May we who have so much open our hearts to welcome your children who are in need. Open our hearts, Lord. Give us eyes to see your writing on the wall and the courage and grace to change. May we be part of your work, building a society of peace and justice, of mercy and love for all. We pray these things in the name of your Son who showed us a different way.
Thank you. There's a story I heard once about B.T. Roberts. Now, B.T. was the founder of the Free Methodist Church, the denomination that shaped and called Ben into ministry. And B.T. was an abolitionist in the time of the Civil War. It's one of the things that got him kicked out of the Methodist Episcopal Church at the time, because his stance on slavery was one of freedom for slaves. It's one of the basic freedoms of the Free Methodist Church. Now, B.T. did a lot of traveling, much of it by train, and the story goes that once, while riding on a train, his car was boarded by a group of young black men and women. They were all dressed well and had tickets just like everyone else, but there were uncomfortable shifts in the air within the car when they boarded and sat down. And one passenger in particular began to get very nasty, began to hurl insults in their directions, and then make threats, and then physically rising in order to intimidate the group. B.T., the story goes, could not sit idly by. He also rose to his feet, placing himself firmly between the angry white passenger and the innocent black young people. In the face of hatred and bigotry, he responded, "You will not diminish the dignity of the image of God." Our story from the book of Daniel is a strange one. While it is not all that familiar to many, it is certainly memorable once you've heard it. King Belshazzar, at what must feel like the height of his power, throws a huge party. Thousands of people are in attendance. And in the midst of the merrymaking, he decides to try and further humiliate the conquered people of Israel by getting out all of the sacred chalices and other gold and silver goblets that were pillaged from the temple in Jerusalem, and using those to drink copious amounts of wine. I am sure that he and his guests found it most amusing to defile these objects of great importance to someone else. But in that exact moment, a disembodied hand appears and begins to write on the wall. You can imagine that in that moment, the king sobered up pretty quickly. The scripture says that all the color drained from his face and that his knees knocked together. He was thoroughly terrified. So Belshazzar called together his most trusted and wise advisors, asked them, "What is this that is written on the wall and what does it mean?" Either they didn't know, or they were too afraid to say, because he got no answer from them. This, of course, did not decrease his alarm in the least. At this point, the queen mother makes an appearance, and she reminds Belshazzar that his father, King Nebuchadnezzar, had relied on the wisdom of a particular exile named Daniel, and that Daniel was clearly full of God's spirit because he could often interpret the meaning of things. And so Daniel is sent for. Now, the writing on the wall is mene, mene, tekel, parson. And some of why the king cannot comprehend what is going on is because those are nonsense words meant to sound like the names of four coins of varying weights, kind of like merzidotes and dozy dotes. But Daniel's interpretation of them is what turns them into puns. He takes these three nouns and turns them into verbs. Mene becomes the verb numbered. Tekel is like the verb for weighed, and parson is the plural of peres, which is like the verb for divided. King Belshazzar's days are numbered. His rule has been weighed and found wanting. His kingdom will be divided. Friends, don't miss the courage that it takes for Daniel to deliver this message. Remember, he is an exile in this situation, a conquered person. He's part of a group that the king disregards and disrespects so much that he is using their holy items as party favors. And yet, Daniel interrupts the arrogance of the king. We should also note that at the time that this story was written and shared, it wasn't Belshazzar and the Babylonians that the Israelites were being oppressed by. It was Antiochus IV. And so to tell this story, in the face of such military might and presumed power was a courageous act of defiance, as well as of faithfulness to God. The text is clear that Belshazzar and those partying with him worshiped the gods of iron and bronze, of gold and silver. They were quite full of themselves, drinking out of the pillaged remnants of another's sacred symbols. They were too powerful to touch, above consequences in their own minds, and they were relishing it. They did not worship God, but worshiped small g gods. Not as a practicing formal religion, but in their practice, the practice of their living and thinking, the gods of power and wealth, of violence and meanness, gods of self-centeredness and pride ruled their lives. And one of the questions underlying this text is, what is it, or who is it, that you worship, dear reader? The assumption is we will all worship something, even if it is not formal. We will all pay attention to and value and allow something to guide the way we think and the way we live. What have you chosen? Is it security, safety, a particular way of telling your story or seeing yourself? Is it our nation, guns, money, a particular political party? Is it power? Control? Or maybe it's smug, educated, liberal elitism. That one gets me some days. Most of us can find something we give ourselves over to that is not God, if we're willing to search hard enough and critically enough. Most of us have places where we are valuing things or actions or ideologies that do not bring life and freedom and beauty and wholeness to us and to others. Places where we have decided that we are more important or smarter or better than others. Tim Mackey of the Bible Project argues that when we make arrogance or power or any of those small g gods into gods, we begin to lose our humanity. We begin to become like beasts. Next week's story will give us a vision of the beasts that worship their own arrogance. So come back. But for us today, we need the reminder that our arrogance, or our lack of confrontation of arrogance, disconnects us from who we truly are. It disconnects us from the created world around us. It disconnects us from our identity as ones made in the image of God. Which is part of the inspiration to me of B.T. Roberts. In his declaration, you will not diminish the dignity of the image of God. He interrupts the racism and violence being spewed toward those who are vulnerable. He remembers who he is, who they are, and who he truly serves and worships. I believe the story goes that the group changed cars. BT went with them, only to be treated to a beautiful gift of music, because the young people were part of the Tuskegee Institute Singers, traveling to perform in front of mostly white audiences in order to raise money for their school. This text both invites us to consider our own arrogance, the places where we have assumed that we are better, the places where we desecrate or denigrate what is sacred to others, the places where we need humility, and also to consider the world around us, the places of arrogance and power within structures, systems, and people that are causing harm to God's created image in humanity and in nature. And then to interrupt it, to call it out, to stop the cycle and pattern of it. Belshazzar was on top of the world, at the height of his power, or so he thought. And that very night, he lost it all. There is no time to waste. The writing is on the wall. God is still in the business of bringing liberation and value and beauty and redemption to the world. But we must heed the warning. We must cast down our small g gods and choose humility, compassion, wonder, and love. May it be so. Amen. May you go with courage to interrupt arrogance, even within yourself. May you go with humility that leads to openness. May you go knowing that you are made in the image of God, and so is everyone else you meet. May you go in love, always. Amen.